And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear family of Trinity and all the other wonderful people who are worshiping with us this evening, again, we welcome everyone. We're overjoyed that you are gathering with us on this very special evening. And tonight, as we gather, whether it's in our homes, whether it's our worship team here in the sanctuary, wherever we are so blessed by God's grace to know the Lamb. To know the Lamb. You know, John the Baptist, right after Jesus was baptized, Jesus was walking in the crowd, and John the Baptist pointed him out in the crowd and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. And you know, when we think of the Lamb of God, we certainly go back to the Passover, don't we? We go back to that incredible event, as Mrs. Erickson shared with you a moment ago with the kids. I hope you were all listening. What an incredible message this evening. But that amazing event, God's people being in Egypt in bondage, in slavery for many years, and it was getting worse, and the labor was becoming more difficult. The Pharaoh was making it very hard on the Jews, on God's people in that land. And God saw the suffering of his people. He heard their cries for mercy, and God sent Moses. And we know that incredible historical account. Moses growing up in that royal family, growing up in Pharaoh's home, and then going into exile in the wilderness. And then God, what does he do? He sends Moses back to deliver his people. And so Moses returns to Egypt. He approaches Pharaoh with God's power and strength and authority, and he commands Pharaoh to let God's people go. And we know that Pharaoh laughed in Moses' face. "There's no way I'm letting these people go. They're my workforce." But of course, we know then God instituted the plagues, didn't he? And there were 9 plagues that God instituted with Pharaoh. You know, the river Nile turned into blood was one of them. There were all the locusts was another one, the darkness over the land, the frogs. Oh, there were these horrible things that God inflicted upon the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh, in his stubbornness, would not let them go. And then we know that final plague, the 10th plague, God institutes with sending the angel of death over the land of Egypt. And we hear that the angel came, ironically, with a plague, with a pestilence that came upon the land of Egypt. But God prepared his own people to protect them. And so remember, as we heard in the Old Testament reading this evening from Exodus, that God commanded them, didn't he, to take an unblemished lamb, and they were to kill that lamb, and they were to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost. Cover the covering of the door, the sides and the top, with that blood of the lamb, that unblemished lamb. And then when the angel of death came over the land of Egypt, the angel would see that household and do a marvelous thing. He would pass over that household. That household would not be afflicted by the plague of death that's going to kill the firstborn of man and beast in the land of Egypt. And so God carried out his plague. Can you imagine how horrifying that was? In the midst of COVID-19 that we're living in now, we know that how scary this is and how concerning it can be. But imagine the firstborn of every household and the firstborn of every beast. There was death in the land of Egypt, but not among God's people. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb protected them. And not only that, the blood of the Lamb delivered them. And here Pharaoh, probably the most powerful authority in the world of the day, or at least one of them, allows the slaves to walk out of that land as free people. And Moses led them, and God eventually brought them, didn't he, to the promised land. Well, as amazing and incredible as that event was, and certainly God didn't want them, nor us, by the way, to forget it. Because what did we hear in Scripture? That this feast is to be remembered every year, generation to generation, forever. And look, here we are this evening. And even with the COVID-19 and even with all of the issues that we have to deal with, not being able to be physically together as in fellowship in this sanctuary, yet what are we doing all over the world? We today, on Maundy Thursday, on the Passover, we are doing what God commanded so many years ago. And you know, when we follow Jesus' ministry, Jesus comes. And believe me, the Jews understood what John the Baptist was indicating when he drew attention to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." The Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Savior, Jesus came. And you know, Jesus observed the Passovers, by the way. You can read about it. In fact, I'll give you the references. You may want to write these down. But in John's Gospel, God clearly reveals that Jesus celebrated three Passovers during his public ministry. The first one we hear of in John chapter 2, verse 23. The next one is in John chapter 6, verse 4. And then the third Passover, the one that we especially remember on this evening, Maundy Thursday, during Holy Week, you can find in John chapter 11, verse 55. But Jesus abided as true man, as he also, fully God, placed himself under his own law. And Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly and observe the Passover feast, which really comes to focus on him. But he abides by that law, and Jesus leads his disciples to do the same. And so Jesus, that evening of Maundy Thursday, the time when they ate the Passover meal, directed his apostles to prepare a room to prepare the meal, and they celebrated that meal together. Here, the very lamb that was promised is in their midst and eating the Passover meal with them. Can you imagine how incredible that was for the apostles? That they would be with the Lamb of God, the one that the Passover of the Old Testament was pointing to, a much greater deliverance than being delivered from a political power, but this is being delivered from hell, delivered from condemnation, delivered from sin and Satan and death. That's why the Lamb came. And so they remembered that incredible Passover event. But then Jesus takes it to a whole nother level, doesn't he? Remember what Jesus did after the meal? Judas had left, by the way, the betrayer. He left after the Passover meal. And then after Judas had left, what did Jesus do? But he took some of the bread that was left over from the meal, and he took the bread and he broke it before them, and he handed it out to them, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Did you hear that? Here is the Lamb of God in the person of Jesus Christ saying, "Take, eat, this bread is my body, which has been given for you." And then he takes the cup, and that is wine that they also had at the Passover meal, so some of the wine that was left over, and Jesus passed the cup around, and he invited the disciples to drink the wine. And he instructed them as they drank it, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Jesus, in this incredible supper that he institutes, brings the Passover to a whole new level. And it's all focused upon him. And of course, all focused upon the cross, where Jesus soon, in just a few hours, will be headed to. The Passover lamb. And what did Jesus do at the cross? But he shed his blood, didn't he? And you talk about a gory sight on Calgary, as they already had beaten and bloodied Jesus almost to the point of non-recognition, and then nailed him to that cross. And Jesus, the Almighty God in the flesh, submitted to that. Why? So that you and I could be spared, that you and I could be delivered by the blood of the Lamb. And it's so beautiful in the epistle readings in Scripture, as we consider a few of those this evening. I'd like you to think about 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. I'm sure you're familiar with these words, but they read, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed." Now, redeemed means to be purchased, to be bought back. And Jesus bought us back from our sin and condemned condition with his shed blood on the cross by dying in our place. "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." And listen to this. "But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." You know, it's interesting, God commanded the Jews during the time of that historical Passover event in Egypt not only to select an unblemished lamb and to kill that lamb, but do you remember what God said about the bones? They were not to break any of the bones of the lamb. Now, at that time, it may seem kind of strange. Well, what's the big deal, God? Why not break the bones? Well, do you remember Jesus at the cross? And he had the criminals on either side of him. And remember, the Jews wanted the bodies taken down early, for the holiest Sabbath of the church year was just a few hours away. And people being crucified could hang for hours, for days, upon those crosses before they would die. And so Pilate conceded, and the way that they would kill them immediately is by breaking their legs, because they could support their upper chest cavity with their legs on the cross that would keep them from suffocating. But once the legs are broken, all the weight is on the chest, and they would suffocate very quickly. Remember, they broke the legs of the criminals on either side of Jesus, but when they came to Jesus, what did they discover? He was already dead. And in John's gospel account, it's emphasized the bones were not to be broken. God wants us to see ever so clearly, without doubt, that Passover lamb in Egypt, or the Passover lambs, were pointing to a much greater deliverance through the exclusive Lamb of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's through him that we have been delivered, as God inspired Peter to write. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we hear these words, and it's in the context of Paul confronting the Corinthians in their sin and telling them that they need to change their ways of life. God has cleansed them with Jesus' blood. He has forgiven them. He has set them aside to be holy. And yet they were living lives as though they were never saved in the first place, very ungodly lives. And so God directs them back to the Lamb as he does you and me in our own sin. And then Paul writes, for Christ, and listen to this, this is so awesome. For Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. God just lays it out there so clearly that Jesus is the Passover lamb. And so we live in the wonderful blessings of the Lamb. You know, in the book of Revelation, we hear again about the Passover lamb. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 6, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. Again, a beautiful image of the Passover lamb who has delivered us from our sin and condemnation. And then as you see in the picture on the screen, these beautiful words. You know, John is asked, who are these that are in white robes in heaven? Because God is giving John a vision, an experience of heaven. And John is seeing the church, the body of believers that are in heaven. And John answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now that doesn't seem to make sense, does it? How in the world can your clothes be purified and made white when being soaked in blood? Well, it happens with Jesus' blood, because Jesus' blood cleanses us and redeems us and delivers us. Jesus spoke from the cross, it is finished. This whole incredible plan of salvation has been completed. And what God enabled the Apostle John to see in heaven, one day you and I are going to see with our own eyes as well. And we hear the triumph of God's people, not over the Egyptians, not over some kind of political force or other battles on this earth, but this is over a spiritual battle. And it's victory over sin and death and Satan. And we hear in Revelation 12, 11, they, meaning the church, triumphed over him, meaning Satan. Here it is again. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one day you and I, as God's children, are going to be in heaven. And you know, in light of seeing death flaunted before our eyes every moment of every day on local, state, national, international news, every time you hear the gruesome stories about people dying, I want you to think about the blood of the Lamb. Because through the blood, even death from the coronavirus or whatever other thing brings death upon us on this earth, we're all terminal. But the blood of the Lamb delivers us. And when we die physically on this earth, we don't die. We transfer from life here to life in glory. And guess who we're going to see sitting on the throne? But the Lamb. The Lamb. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 7. But in the meantime, we're still here. Even in these uncomfortable and very difficult times of many unknowns and uncertainties, which really life on earth is, but we live in the certainty of the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who takes away your sins and mine. And the Lord doesn't leave us defenseless, but he nurtures us. And so continually, he offers to us his body and blood in with and under the bread and wine, that we may know without doubt that he is our Redeemer. He is the Lamb of God, and he is the one who has delivered us and who offers to us the security of everlasting life. Well, God be with you and me as we continue in this journey. And what an incredible time in the times that we are living in the midst of so many terrified of death, to be able to share with them the Lamb of God, the whole Passover event, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us so much that he gave his life up for us, but rose again and lives and reigns. And one day we will see him with our own eyes. Amen. May the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.